Gospel of the Lord.
Today is Christ the King Sunday, also called by some the Reign of Christ Sunday, this day in which we are reminded that we belong first and foremost not to the United States, not to the world, but to God. Today we proclaim the empire of God. That might sound strange to us, but maybe that means it's important to think about. And so every year we end the church year with this day. The question that the Reign of Christ Sunday asks us is, to whom do we owe our allegiance? Or maybe, to put it another way, what this Sunday tells us is, ultimately, we don't owe our lives to any earthly ruler. We don't owe our lives to any government. We don't owe our lives to any political party. When the world is in disarray, when nations, when governments, when elected officials disappoint us, we're reminded that ultimately we have no king, no ruler, no authority who is not under the reign of Jesus Christ. To say that Christ is king is not usual. It's not the normal way we think. To say that Christ is the king is really countercultural. To say that Jesus is king, to say that Jesus reigns over the world, is disruptive. It stands against the ways of the world. This festival day was first declared by Pope Pius XI in 1925 in response to the rising authoritarianism of Mussolini, who had become dictator of Italy. This day was pronounced in response to a rising tide of nationalism and fascism. It was meant to remind followers of Jesus where our true loyalty lies, to remind Christians that we have no earthly king, to remind us that our king is Jesus. To be clear, this day is not about replacing secular government with religious government. This is not a promotion of Christian nationalism, not an assertion that government should be run by Christians or Christianity should be made the law of the land or any kind of effort to coerce people to be Christian. No. Christ the King Sunday is not about lifting up Jesus or some representative of Jesus to be an earthly king, as if we're saying Jesus is like an earthly king, only better, only perfect, only more like a king should be. No and no. Today, this festival day is literally a day to remind us, to emphasize, to proclaim that the reign of Jesus, the kingdom of God, the empire of God stands opposed to all empires of the world in their brokenness. Today's gospel reading from Luke shows us just that. On his way to the cross, Jesus is placed in a kingly robe. He's falsely accused. He's mocked. He's tortured. He's killed. And yet, even as the world crushes him, humiliates him, calls him a false king and destroys him, even as he's dying on the cross, we heard today, Jesus is still forgiving. Father, forgive them. Jesus is still welcoming others into the presence of God, into God's reign. Today, you will be with me in paradise. You see, those around Jesus are mocking him, scoffing at him, sneering at him, treating him with contempt, and yet Jesus responds with compassion, with mercy, with grace. Our Christ refuses to respond in kind. He refuses to ramp up the violence. He offers no retribution, no vengeance. He's only forgiving, diffusing the violence through forgiving. He's only assuring the criminals dying there with him and those watching and us that death is not the end. As we think about this, it's important to remember what crucifixion was for. It was not a punishment that was just handed out to common thieves and lawbreakers. No, it was reserved for those who stood against the empire, the reign of Caesar, the emperor, the king of the occupying forces of Rome. Crucifixion was meted out for treason, for insurrection, for rebellion, for standing against the empire, against the kingdom of Caesar. In a way, that repentant criminal who hung there next to Jesus, who declared Jesus innocent, was wrong. For in the eyes of the empire, according to Roman law, Jesus actually had done something wrong. He was being justly crucified according to the law because he stood up against the oppression of the empire. He stood up against the abuse. He had stood against the violence, the enslavement, the extortion, the extraction of wealth, and the poverty, the destitution, the desperation, the dehumanization which the empire caused. Jesus did stand up against the emperor and his governors and his puppet king and all who serve only power and wealth and glory and might, that of the Caesar and their own. Jesus, time and again, stood against those who did not serve God's people, God's children, the people of the world. Jesus was, in fact, threatening the empire, threatening the king, threatening their earthly power. How? Not with force, not with insurrection, not with violence, not with military might, but with the very power that he showed in his ministry, which we see on the cross, the power of forgiveness, the power of invitation into God's way of mercy and love that stands against the ways of the world. Jesus' proclamation of God's reign, in which the oppressed, the prisoners are set free, in which debt is canceled, in which community is built, in which bread is shared, all of this threatened the existence of the Empire of Rome, which operated under threat of violence and crucifixion, intimidation and coercion and might. Do you see, in the end, because Jesus is not afraid of crucifixion, Rome, Caesar is robbed of power. Every empire of the world is robbed of power. Jesus' kingdom, the reign of God, the empire of God is threatening to any power that oppresses God's people. Not because Jesus threatens a revolution of violence, but a revolution of transformation. Transformation from within. Transformation of human hearts. A transformation of communities. A transformation of love. Which, as Mary sang, brings the tyrants down from their thrones. Friends, this is the good news. Jesus proclaims and promises a different kingdom, a different empire. Jesus is king who is triumphant, not in violence, not in power over others, not in any ability to coerce others to bend to his will, but in his power to forgive, to show mercy and grace. We didn't hear this verse in our reading today, but if we had gone only a bit further, we would have the centurion, a military officer of the Empire of Rome, the representative of the Caesar who is standing there at the foot of the cross to oversee this execution. He was a witness of Jesus' forgiveness and mercy and grace, Jesus' invitation. And his heart, the heart of the very man in charge of the evil being done, his heart was broken open as he murmured, "Surely, this man was truly righteous." This is the good news for us. The good news echoed in the reading from Colossians. As we face the powers of brokenness and division and hatred and violence and oppression, as we experience powers of sickness and grief and pain and suffering, as we suffer from the powers of tragedy and calamity and disaster, as we face the powers of evil, that is, people doing evil things to people, we know that Christ is above all things, that Christ defeats all the powers, that Christ is the firstborn of those who have died to new life in the fullness of God. We know, we trust that Christ is the firstborn and that he is not the last. For we in Christ as a gift of God, we also are inheritors of this same promise. Inheritors of the same reality. Forgiveness, mercy, grace, love, an invitation to life that is above all the powers, life that conquers the brokenness, life that has defeated, is defeating, will always defeat the powers of fear and sin and death. Hear the good news. Receive the good news. Be transformed by this good news. May we live this good news for the sake of the world.